I pray that you will receive the word today. I'm going to pray and thank the Lord for the anointing. The Holy Spirit is here, and he anoints our hearts to receive, but not just our hearts, our minds to retain. And I'm going to ask that blessing right now, if you will pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. Thank you for your anointing. Words that I may say will have no meaning and no effectiveness without your anointing. I thank you, O God. I pray that the fire of your Holy Spirit will touch our hearts. Let us retain what we need to retain. To know you, O God, is our desire. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have titled this message today, The Value of Bible Prophecy. The value of it. I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to call it, but, you know, we often ignore Bible prophecy because we think, well, I don't understand it, and I think I'll just avoid it. And so we don't want to do that, but I thought I'd go over just a little bit of what when Jesus was preparing them and when Daniel had a prophetic word, and what was it that they were looking forward to? What was that? And the first event in Bible prophecy that we look at is the church age. We are living in the church age, which is the period from Pentecost, when they were in that upper room, until the rapture of the church. So we're in that dispensation of the church age, where we have grace applied. During this time, Gentiles are invited to participate in the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant. Aren't you glad that we have had that grace, that time that we can be invited? The Jews were in covenant with God, but Israel temporarily rejected that invitation when they rejected Christ. God extended his invitation to include everyone, the non-Jews, that we might be included. However, God is not finished with Israel. Don't for a minute think that he is. In Romans, the 11th chapter, verses 1 and 5, it says, God has not rejected his people. Has he? May it never be. A partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. When the church age ends, God will finish his dealings with Israel. The church age will end at the rapture of the church, when we are taken up with the Lord, the rapture. The rapture is the snatching away to heaven of all Christians before the tribulation begins. Paul described it in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. He said, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Dead in Christ means you've got the Spirit of Christ. That Spirit that dwells in me is the Spirit that Christ had. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. The Lord will descend from heaven. He descends into the air, not to the ground. This is the rapture. He comes in the air just like he went away when he was there on that mountain. And he went up in a cloud, and the angel, when they said, why do you look at and despair? This same Jesus will come the same way that he was taken away. The dead in Christ, every believer who has died since Pentecost, will be raised at that time when Jesus comes again. When Christians die, our bodies remain on earth. Some people say, well, I don't understand. How can you be with the Lord? Your body's not gone. No, your spirit is gone. Our bodies remain on earth, but our spirits go to be with the Lord. Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. But our bodies won't stay on earth forever. They're in that grave. When I went there and my husband's body was lowered into that casket or in that tomb, steel case, I guess you'd say, I thought it was just a horrible thing to watch, and I thought, oh no, but he's not going to stay there forever. The bodies of the saved at the rapture will be, they will be raised, and they will have new bodies. Christians who are alive at that time will meet the Lord in the air. There will be a generation of Christians who never experienced death. They will be caught up to meet the Lord. So those who are alive will be caught up, but they cannot go with this mortal body. That body has to be changed. It cannot go as it is. Our bodies, when we die, are in the grave, but they will be changed when Jesus comes. Our bodies will change from mortal to immortal. Paul said this mortal body must put on immortality. 1 Corinthians 15:53, your body may be suited for this world, but it's not suited for the next world. At the rapture, we will receive brand new bodies from God that are free from pain, suffering, and sickness. There will be none of that, no sorrow, no tears in heaven. The rapture is the next event on God's prophetic timeline. There are no prophecies that have to be fulfilled prior to the rapture. It could happen at any moment. The rapture of the church will be followed by the tribulation. I'm just kind of giving you a sequence here. What is it that Jesus was saying when they said, when will this time, the end time, be? And Jesus was talking about it. And the rapture will be followed by tribulation, a seven-year period that will begin with the world leader known as the Antichrist signs a peace agreement, a covenant with Israel, and it will end with the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, when he comes back, see, we will join him. This is the final 7 years of the earth's history. There are two purposes for the tribulation. First, it will be a time of salvation for the Jews and for Gentiles during the tribulation, but they will give their lives in order to be saved. But Jews will be turning to God. Many people will be saved during that time, Jews and Gentiles alike. Now, don't count on saving it and say, well, I'll turn to God then, because it's not going to be easy then, but there will be those who will be saved. God is a merciful God. He gives us chance after chance after chance. And so here, some will be saved during these final 7 years. It is a sign of God's mercy. He wants to save as many people as possible. Second, it will be a time of condemnation of unbelievers. The tribulation will be followed by the second coming of Christ. This is the visible return of Jesus Christ to establish his kingdom on the earth. He's going to come back, and listen here in Revelation, the 19th chapter. John said, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. He's the living Word. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Who are those that are clothed in white linen robes? The saints of God. And they followed him on white horses. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. And with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There are lots of people today who think that they are important, and they hold a high honor, and they, the filth and the degradation, unrighteousness that goes along with many of those that are declared to be so good and good leaders. But Jesus is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. We may be challenged when we read prophecies and do not understand them, but we read in the book of Daniel the account of messages that Daniel received from God through the angel Gabriel. We're challenged sometimes. We say, I don't understand it. I'm just not going to read it because it's confusing. But Daniel was concerned because he did not understand the messages. God was revealing the rise and fall of great empires, leading to a global empire led by a despot whom the Apostle John would call the Antichrist. whose demise would come by the hand of God. God will bring down that Antichrist. These empires were so far in the future from Daniel's perspective that he was perplexed. When Daniel asked the angel to elaborate, the angel explained that Daniel could never understand because too many events had to happen before they could be fulfilled and understood. We have an advantage because we have and are seeing these things fulfilled that Daniel did not see. Daniel said, although I heard in the 12th chapter, he said, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Gabriel said, there would be three major signs that would mark the time of the end, he told Daniel. Listen to this. We're seeing them, but Daniel did not see them. He could not imagine them. In the 12th chapter, verse 4, but as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the increase, until the time of the end. Many will go to and fro, and knowledge will increase. Knowledge will increase, he said. He added that only those living in the end times who were wise, that means who were spiritually discerning, would understand these prophecies. We need to be careful because the world does not see it. They do not understand it. We must discern them. They would recognize, we have to recognize that the increase in knowledge, the increase in travel, and that prophetic understanding would signal the end of human-controlled kingdoms. It would signal the coming of the Messiah and the establishing of Christ's millennial reign. I believe we are among those living in the end times. We must be wise and spiritually discerning. Daniel says in the 12th chapter, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And he said, go your way, Daniel, Gabriel said, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. We understand because we see things that are happening. Jesus told us things as well, and Paul told things that he said, "You, when you see these things happening, you know that the end is coming close." And of course, Paul told us, he told Timothy, he said, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves. We've seen it so radically different from what it was when I was a child. The respect for parents is not there. They are lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, all these things going along. To show that is the coming the end time. Paul said, Timothy, watch for this. He said, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power. From such people turn away. We do not join in that. And then he says in 2 Timothy, Paul said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. If we've ever lived in a time where people do not want to hear sound doctrine, it's today. They want to hear something that is light and I will conform to me, not me conform to the Word of God, but conform to my lifestyle. And it's so prevalent today. I had a lady it's been maybe 3 or 4 years ago, call me, somebody that I knew, and I think she had come to the church, and she'd grown a little bit older. She was a young person, and she had a child, and she said, I want to know about your church. My daughter wants a church she could go to, but she has a different lifestyle. Will you accept her? I said, she's welcome to come. We accept her. She said, but I don't want you preaching against that lifestyle. I'm sorry, we don't do that. We preach the Word of God. She said, no, I want a church that will accept her and not tell her she has to change her lifestyle. That's one of the things they have. They want it according to their own desires because they have itching ears, the Bible, Paul said. They will heap up for themselves teachers that will Do what they want. Tell them what they want to hear. And they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So we know that the increase in knowledge, when I look at that, the way we obtain information has changed a lot. And you and I know it. I am blown away. I don't know what in the world they're talking about anymore. For thousands of years of human history, life remained pretty much the same. In the early 2000s, there was no Wikipedia, no Gmail, no social media like Facebook, no cloud computing, no tablets, no smartphones, and certainly no high-speed internet connectivity. Can you imagine? Just in the year 2000, I remember when I was in high school, senior in high school, they took us to a bank where they had a computer, a very new thing, a computer, in this bank building. And in the building, it was probably half the size of this building here. And all on the walls was all this equipment and machinery. And they said, this is the thing of the day. It's a computer. A computer. Now we have little bitty computers we hold in our hand. The knowledge, it has changed so much. And certainly, at last, in 1454, now this is a while back, words of knowledge could be mass copied onto paper. Finally, they could be put on paper. It couldn't be done before. The age of the printed book changed the world, and Gutenberg started with the fount of all knowledge, the Bible. The Bible. He printed the Bible. What a wonderful invention that was. But the most world-changing advances have been made just in the last 150 years or so. Can you imagine the thousands of years, but in the last 150 years, the knowledge has been so advanced. Our knowledge has been experiencing exponential growth as one breakthrough builds upon another. In 2023, quantum computers began processing at speeds equivalent to the human brain. And then I read, too, that pretty soon they say that they can take a computer and it can read as many as 32 people's brains. It can, as fast as 32 people could think. I cannot imagine. But knowledge is increasing. The exponential curve is not just limited to computers. Other advances in biomedicine, space science, chemical engineering, human engineering, and all other sciences have been climbing faster and steeper with every passing day. It is expected that in the next 5 years, the world's technology will be 32 times more advanced than it is today. Just in the next 5 years, the technology will advance that time, 32 times more. Today's exponential increase in knowledge points to the fact that we are living in the prophesied end times and that Jesus Christ is coming soon. That's what it tells us. Daniel, when Gabriel told him, he said, "You can't understand it, Daniel. Don't feel so bad if you can't understand it." I get very overwhelmed trying to understand just something on my computer. But Daniel said, Gabriel told him, don't worry about it. You can't understand it. It's beyond your understanding right now. But later on, you know, now today we can see it happening. Increase in transportation is also one of the signs that the angel told Daniel. He said in that same prophecy, the angel told Daniel that besides a great increase in knowledge, many will go to and fro. Didn't used to be. You had a buggy, you went a little ways, and you had maybe had a horse or a camel. But Daniel 12:4, it says, many will go to and fro. This tremendous increase in travel would also occur in the same context as in the end times. When people begin to go to and fro, both farther and faster, those final years before Christ's return is nearing. Mankind has invented airplanes and jets, rockets and space shuttles. Man has gone to the moon. They send things into space. Today's exponential increase in travel points to the soon return of Jesus. We can look at that, what Paul wrote to Timothy. And we say, yes, we see that all around us. But this is just almost mind-blowing to see the things that the angel told Daniel would come to pass. And he said, this is what's going to happen when the end comes. Increase in understanding of prophecy, he said. Bible prophecy constitutes 31% of the Bible. 31% of the Bible is prophetic. It is like a 100-piece puzzle. One can make out the outline of a picture, but until certain events are unfold, the picture remains incomplete. I've seen people putting puzzles together, put the outline there, and then they fill here and there. That's the way it is. It's not complete until it's all together. The pieces we have now are far more than what Daniel ever had. In Matthew 13:17, Jesus told his disciples, "For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." I'm saying to you, many people have desired to see what you and I see, and they didn't see it. But we see it today. We need to discern the times, what is going on. Jesus is soon going to return. Even then, the apostles didn't understand many of Christ's teachings until after his resurrection. Remember how that he told them he would die, and that 3 days later he would be resurrected. And when he openly explained them, and then later sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to provide further illumination, Jesus told them, he tried to prepare them. He wanted us, and he wants us to be ready for his return. He wants us to spend eternity with him. The apostles were expecting the imminent return of Christ, and not a 2,000-year-long wait. More than 2,000 years, and they are waiting. The various end-times signs related to nature, society, world politics, technology, Israel. Don't forget, Israel is a major player in this prophetic things. And the spiritual signs are coming at us at such a fantastic rate that it points to the fact that Jesus Christ is returning soon and very soon. These three major signs, along with the hundreds more provided in the Bible, being fulfilled in our day, reveal the fact that Jesus could return at any moment. Christians are called to serve God in these perilous and dark times. The theme of the book of Revelation is this. The theme, what it says is, the end of your life as you know it is coming soon. That end will come either through your physical death or through the return of Jesus Christ. This body will die, but your life is about to undergo a big change. Whether you die physically or whether you're changed when Jesus comes in the sky, in the clouds. The knowledge of the fact that your life, as you know it, is going to end should affect the decisions that you and I make and how we live right now. When a man or a woman is facing death, they're on their deathbed, they think seriously about eternity, but we need to think about it now. For those of you, if you're watching this telecast today, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, recognize now that we are living in the end times. This is like an alarm clock to awaken you to the fact that the world as we know it does not have much time. I don't know how much time it has. My time is God, it's not God's time, his timing, but I can see all of the time the signals are pointing to it very soon. Jesus is coming soon, but the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We love life, And young people especially, they love life and they want to have all kinds of vim and vigor and enthusiasm. And we want to live life. But you can live life to the fullest if you're serving Jesus, because you'll have eternal life to the fullest knowing Him. I ask you today to accept Him as Lord of your life and say, God, I don't understand everything. It's beyond my understanding, but I understand one thing, that you will carry me through. And I ask you to come into my heart, change my life, make me what you want me to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the words that you have given to us in your word, the Bible. The words you've spoken through your prophets, and the words that Jesus, you spoke to us to give us an indication of what marks, what begins this process of the ending of time as we know it. I thank you, Lord, that you have warned us and you've told us, even as you told your disciples, you would be crucified, and they could not believe it. You told them that you would be raised from the dead, and yet they could not accept it. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to understand that your words are true and they are faithful. Help us to commit our lives to you, Lord. Those who are watching today, may they surrender their lives to you, recognize I have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I give you my life, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Do with it what you will. I serve you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, your body is the temple of the Lord. You don't own your body. What you do with your body is what God wants you to do, or else you're violating it. He said your body is his temple. Let him live in that temple as he desires to do so. Thank you today for joining us at Living Waters Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May you have a wonderful, blessed week. Get it to turn off. Okay, we have a lot to pray about when you hear on the news every day and you think, oh, what else could go wrong? We have things that are, and I thought it was interesting that, and I don't like to talk about Joshua all the time, but anyway, I thought it was interesting that I heard him telling somebody, he said, man, I thought this guy that was there with me was my friend. I had no idea that he had any animosity toward me. And he said, it's just like something crazy came over him, and he stabbed me.